Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Haley.
And I'm Grace.
And this is the Tea to What's Good, a Christian podcast whose focus is studying and staying in God's Word with the goal of advancing our lives and teaching the truth. This week, it's not just us, because originally it was just going to be us, but we have a live audience today. Group of our teen girls from our youth class. They have Out of Eden every Thursday in the mornings till about mid-afternoon. They come in and do activities, learn different skills, and they are here watching us today for some of this podcast. Let's see. Today our topic is a little bit of a touchy subject, I'd say, that not a lot of women or people in general like to talk about. But before we get started, let's go ahead and turn to our verse, Titus 2, verse 8.
And sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us.
Thank you, Iva.
Got it.
Yep. And another version, it says to be self-controlled, pure. Well, did I mess that up? I think I messed that up. My bad. But it was the same preference. No, that was my bad. You did amazing. Your voice was so good. But it says to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands so that the word of God may not be reviled. Our topic today is purity and or pure. I know you guys did that a little bit with Miss Emily. We're going to do a little bit more. But there is a section that I will forewarn that we're going to have to ask the girls to leave because we're going to need a little bit more in depth. A little parental guidance. If you want to continue watching with our parents, we highly recommend you do that first and then letting your kids listen to it or your teen girls or your other ladies. Cool. All right. So pure, the definition in Greek is hagnos, sort of like Häagen-Dazs the ice cream, but not. It means chaste, which means abstaining from sexual intercourse. It means modest, immaculate, clean, or innocent. In the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it means unmixed, clean, having moral integrity, and absolute, meaning like sheer or just total pure. In the context, pure is the heart of the passage. And what I mean by that is in order to have self-control, you have to have a pure heart and vice versa. You shouldn't have ulterior motives. And in order to benefit the home, you must practice cleanliness. And in order to be submissive to your husbands, you must abstain from sexual intercourse outside of marriage, so you're being pure outside of marriage, until with your own husbands, pure inside of marriage. So where purity is also used, I think it's important that we discuss where purity, the word, is in other scriptures, that way you see a bigger glimpse of what purity is. So who has, if you can, please read 2 Corinthians 7:11 and 11:2.
See what this godly sorrow has produced in you, what earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourself, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to justice, to see justice done. At every point you have proved yourself to be innocent in this matter. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you one husband to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin.
Cool. Who has, thank you so much, who has Philippians 4?
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
Thank you. 5:22.
Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure.
Thank you. And then James 3:17.
But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere.
Thank you. 1 Peter 3:2.
When they see your respectful and pure conduct. That was it.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, you have other stuff written after that.
That was my bad.
I was like, so they're like,
yeah. Oh, you're perfect. Thank you. You're good. So in context, godly wives, it means It's overall encompassing about godly wives winning their non-believing husband souls to Christ because of their godly living. 1 John 3:3.
And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure.
Thank you. And then 1 Peter 1:22-23. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. So purity is not just pertaining to sexuality. Purity is a way of life. It is daily living and choosing to daily live in purity. It is identified by your actions and words. But where does it all begin?
Matthew 5:8, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Purity begins in your heart. It matters where you come from, like where what you put into yourself. In Hebrew, the heart is described as the center of a person, physical, spiritual, and emotional. So purity is the core when we think about it. The heart, quite literally, is the body's blood pump. Mm-hmm. We need our heart to pump blood to our organs. The heart is, when the heart is bad, the body is bad too. So if our hearts are impure, so is the rest of the body. This is so important. So we always want to keep our hearts and our minds pure, because that ultimately is how the rest of our body flows, the rest of our life flows. It begins in the heart. It's an intentional pursuit, a daily moment by moment choice, and a decision to be pure, a discipline to be unstained from sin. It is not easy to do, but it's not impossible either. In fact, it's necessary to have if we want fellowship with Christ and fellowship within the body. It takes firm diligence to live in purity in all aspects. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. In other words, protect the source of your life. The physical, spiritual, and emotional source of your well-being. Protect a source of your purity. Luke 6:45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Our heart's condition and our pureness is revealed in our language, how we act, how we speak. Mm-hmm. How we present ourselves to others ultimately reflects what's on the inside. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. David also says in Psalms 139:23-24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Also in Ephesians 5:5, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous has no inheritance of the kingdom of God. We cannot have fellowship with God when we are practicing and living in impurity. Galatians 5:19-25, living in impurity means we are living in our flesh, not the spirit. So why is this important? Why do we do this? We cannot have fellowship with God. We cannot partake in the kingdom, and we cannot represent the kingdom correctly. We cannot please God. Psalms 24:3-5.
So there is different aspects within purity, and I like to break it down in three ways. The three ways is desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that whole verse where it talks about those three things is in 1 John 2:16. So desires of the eyes, we're going to be talking about modesty, how it's not just your clothes you wear, but it's also your heart posture, and that is reflected by what you wear. And that is found in 1 Peter 3:3-4. Did you guys know that you can teach people how to treat you by the way that you dress, whether that be modesty or immodesty? Remember your heart. And like, remember your heart when you're dressing. I mean, you can check mark the box, think like your outfit's great, but your heart could be so sick and it could definitely want different attention or different motives for why you're dressing. So check your heart. God sees your heart, and how you dress sometimes reflects your heart. Usually it does. So, including modesty and talking about clothing, we get that this is a difficult situation, both on the male and female side. People come in all shapes and sizes, but it's not impossible to find outfits or other ulterior outfits too. You can alter outfits. I briefly know how to do it, just a little bit, but I'm learning because I find it a little hard because I can be petite or short. And like you girls know, it's sometimes hard to find outfits. It's really hard to find outfits that are modest nowadays. So that's like one way is learning how to alter, just going against the world's culture in a way of fashion. Okay, I'm going to call it Calibella because I feel like you always have the cutest clothes. And I know you Pinterest and you also thrift shop. Like, it's so cute. And so does Haley.
We thrift shop together.
Love it. Love it.
It's kind of our thing.
Yeah, like y'all go thrift shopping as a group. I know you guys did it for Phil for one of the lessons and that was hilarious. But y'all just go out and like help each other out to find cute and modest outfits. Speaking of all the outfits, we're going to talk about our eyes too, because purity is to be guarded. We are to guard ourselves as well as our brothers in Christ. And ultimately, overall, we represent God. Don't let other Christian standards or the world standard be the rule in which you dress. Let Christ's word be your standard, for his word never changes. Again, Haley and I are growing in this area too, and I know for me, I've had dress code mishaps where I had sisters in Christ take me to the side and be like, you're a little low in areas, or you're a little high. I'm like, oh, I did not know. And truly, that could be the case. So, like, we're all learning in this too. And not only that, like, we all can have ulterior motives with how we dress. For example, like trying to get a boy's attention or something. But remember, we have to have a heart pruning. And that really does lead us to change what we wear. And honestly, modest is hottest. There are some really cute outfits out there. And I am super thankful for those sisters that took me aside wherever it was and been like, you need to cover up a little bit more. I'm so thankful for them. So next area is the pride of life. This is where we're going to talk about communications, how you talk, type, post on social media, et cetera. I said that weird. Et cetera. So what do you talk about? What does your language reveal? Remember, your words reveal your heart as well. Our heart's condition, our pureness is revealed in our language. Let's see. So in two episodes ago with Gossip Girl, we talked about how gossip can sow discord. And when you gossip, in a way it shows how you view who you are and who you're talking about as well. In addition to social media, who are you highlighting or what's on your highlight reel? What do you post? Why do you post it? Because overall, again, we are representing God. Would our words, whether it be speaking or writing or posting, dishonor Christ? Consider what you like, what you heart. The content you like shows what you approve of. Is it in the standard of Philippians 4:8? Is it true? Is it honorable? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely, commendable, etc.? Our next section is, well, I'll actually continue this one into it. When we're talking about all these things, a lot of it can be rooted in pride. Just because there is a good pride, but there's also a bad pride too. So the opposite of pride is humility. So how are you honestly doing? Recognizing you have a problem is the first humbling step, and going forward and getting the help you need is the walk of humility. Now, I know this could be daunting and scary if you are a people pleaser. I am a people pleaser. And think highly of what others think of you. But let me assure you, what Christ knows of you is more important. You cannot hide anything from him, and the truth is, the people that you're thinking of, that you think are thinking about you, are probably not thinking about you at all. So when you expose yourself, it shows your humanity, and humanity needs a savior. We cannot save ourselves, but we can seek help to be better versions of ourselves. Next is the desires of the flesh, and it's going to be talking about indulgence, but we're going to enter more into the sexual side. So girlies, this is where I'm going to have to dismiss you guys. It's good to have you on. We love y'all.
Kind of wanted to touch back on the, what was it? The whole posting on social media thing of how it could really, what's the word I'm thinking of? It's not revile, but that's the word that comes to mind whenever I think of it. Mm-hmm. It can revile your teaching and revile the things you claim. If you are going to church and you're going out to school and you're being like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. I go into church every week. I go to Bible study. And then the next thing you turn around and you're posting poor decisions on your social media.
Yeah.
I think that really puts a damper on everything that you claim.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of, it not only does it like show who your character is, but it kind of changes the way people see Christianity and see God and see people in general. It's just like, oh, you're going around saying you're a Christian, but on social media you're posting this.
Yeah.
Or it could be the other way around, where it's like you're posting all this Christian videos and Bible verses and, oh, I'm out studying the Bible with my friends. Mm-hmm. And then the next day you're at a party with your friends drinking and stuff like that. Like, that's something that I see a lot in my age and of like, oh, I'm going out and I'm leading worship, or I'm going out and I'm going to church camp, but the day before you were just at like a club or something. And so it's like, that's something that came to mind when we were talking about the social media thing. It's like keeping your life and your social media pure will deeply reflect God in you and your heart in general.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a little add-on I thought of while we were talking about that.
That is a great add-on. That is a good add-on. Just because, like you said, we live in this world where it's so heightened on social media. Like the word influencer, that's a big, bold word
right
now, and how everybody wants to be an influencer, but I feel like there's a bridge or a disconnect where it's like influencer means your life, not just what you post.
Yeah.
And I can definitely see the conflicting messages going on there.
It's like your life is one way, but you're posting another way. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how can you be influencing people whenever you're not even true to yourself or true to what you're actually doing?
Social media breaks are good, everybody.
I agree. I wish I had enough strength. I'm working on it. Wish I had enough strength to just delete them all. But we'll get there one day.
Practice and day by day.
Yeah.
I feel like with that, it's how you limit yourself day by day with social media. That way you can get to the long run of departing from it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not just I know some people that I was off, but I know for other people, it's more like, sort of like running a marathon, training for a marathon. Right. You have to do a little mile bit at here. A time. Yeah, pacing.
Yeah, you don't just go into running a full marathon. You got to run like 2 miles first. And then eventually after a month or two, you're at 10 and then I didn't run a full marathon, but I'm not doing that. I ran a half.
That's but so impressive.
It still took some training, even though I've kind of been known for not training, which is not good. I'm at that age where it's fine. But once I'm getting older, it's going to be like, you probably should train or you're going to hurt yourself. But it still took some, like, getting run in, like some runs in and stuff like that. So it's like, I definitely understand of doing the bits and pieces. Building up to it. All right, the heavy-weighted topics.
Yes. Building up to it. So this is where we want to caution y'all with this one, because we're going to be talking about purity and sexuality. So if you're listening with younger girlies on this podcast, maybe they should step out of the room for a little bit. You all listen to it first, and then you can have the discussion with them, or you can listen, let them listen to it too. It's up to y'all. So we'll start off with, what are you watching, listening, or doing that is awakening love before the right time? Song of Solomon 3 verse 5 in the ESV says, I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or the does of the field, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. In the New Living Translation, it says, promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is right. And this desire of sex, it is a powerful and beautiful desire. It's God-given. Don't feel guilty for this desire. It's sacred and holy, and it's the binding of souls within the context of marriage. And again, the desire itself isn't the problem. It's the act, the eating of the forbidden fruit outside of how God designed it. That is the problem. To awaken it before the right time and before inside the constitution, protection, and the context of marriage, before really being ready to soul tie yourself to another human being, it will be destructive. It's destructive mentally, emotionally, physically, and relationally. And I believe, like, you have a really good metaphor about the string attachment.
Oh man. Yeah, I watch reels on Instagram all the time. But I saw, like, a little clip from a movie. I think it was, like, a Korean movie or something like that, because it was in a different language, and it looked like it was in Korea. But it was, like, this woman had sexual relationships with someone, and then a string popped up on her head, a red string. And then when she walked out, it's like she was so confused. And then she walked out of her house, and she noticed everyone had strings attached to their head. And it later described in the clip was like, every time you have sexual relations, you break that boundary, you have a never-ending tie to mm-hmm. that person, which is very, like, it's a metaphor, and it's mm-hmm. a movie. Like, obviously, a string doesn't pop up on your head. But, like, it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
When you break that boundary, when you step over that line, which we'll talk about the line mm-hmm. later,
mm-hmm.
When you step over that line, it immediately, it's a tie to that person. I think I've heard scientifically, it's like you give a part of yourself, a part of your, like, chemical imbalances, like,
mm-hmm.
leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts, the more and more you do it, the more and more you give yourself. And so, in a way, you are taking pieces of yourself and losing yourself,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, very sad and, like, mm-hmm. heartbreaking
yeah.
that's something that happens. But it's, like, you're always going to have this part of you in that person.
Mm-hmm.
That person has a part of you, even if, like, it's not, like, a long-term thing. Like, if you did it outside of marriage,
mm-hmm.
it's like someone's walking around with a piece of you in their back pocket.
Mm-hmm. It is very sad. And I know we're talking, our main listeners are women.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not just a women battle, but I feel like that's also not spoken of as well, that it is a women battle, because we always highlight on the men.
Mm-hmm.
But this is both men and women's battle. And we, men or women, we don't have an excuse mm-hmm. for it. Because, like, if, like, we backtrack where we say we're representing God,
mm-hmm.
and if we're representing God, we cannot have an excuse to disobey or thwart that. Now,
mm-hmm.
we make mistakes.
Right.
We're human. Praise God for His grace. But we cannot use God's grace as an excuse to keep doing what we've done.
Right.
And unfortunately, in this world, again, of social media or just heightened of internet, pornography exposure is so huge among men. I was listening to, I think it was a video, and he mentioned a statistic how, like, 80% of boys at the age of 9 get exposed to pornography so young.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking. Like, yeah. That gives me, like, goosebumps.
Yeah.
That's insane. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, these are our future
right
men growing up to be, and they've already been exposed so young to something so beautifully impactful and pure within that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the thing is with pornography and things like that on the internet is it's so manipulated mm-hmm. to such a scary and dirty form mm-hmm. of something so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God created this to be romantic, to yeah. be soul tying, like mm-hmm. we talked about. But pornography websites, social media and things have turned it into something so disgusting. Like it's reviling. Mm-hmm. Like it's hard to even think about that. That's like what people think when they see it. Like that's what it's supposed to be like, but it's not.
Yeah,
it is not. It's not supposed to be that way at all. It's supposed to be a very intimate, important thing.
Very protective.
Yeah.
Very protective. It reminds me of Genesis when they're like, they were in the garden and they were naked and they were not ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, there's no shame, but I feel like with pornography there is shame, and that shame can lead down a further road to, because the devil likes to use shame and likes to make you feel alone in that, mm-hmm. and he can use that against you, and he makes you feel like you're alone in the island and no one else has that problem.
Yeah.
And so it makes you want to keep doing it because you're like, well, I can't be helped if I'm the only
right.
one on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think a big thing with that is like kind of the comparison thing, where it's mm-hmm. like these actresses, we're gonna call them actresses, are like portraying this sense of what a woman's supposed to look like, mm-hmm. how they're supposed to act, how they're supposed to, you know, mm-hmm. and it creates in this like mind of like, oh, my now husband has probably watched this and expects me to look this mm-hmm. way, expects me to be this way. And it's just like heartbreaking because that's the standard now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's like what women think to is like, oh, they probably watched this and now have this idea of what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
And I don't think I can give that to them.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's just, it mm-hmm. takes something so beautiful and makes it into something where you're insecure, yeah. you're terrified, you're like, just have these expectations mm-hmm. that shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. And like pornography, masturbation, all these are self-destructing and self-sabotaging acts that can ruin your future relationships and marriage. And maybe for those currently in a relationship and in marriage now. And actually, it also shows an act of distrust in God doing these things. It's like saying, God, I don't trust you to fulfill these desires in me. Mm-hmm. So I will do this instead of release these desires. I will do this, and these desires will be released in me artificially than truly. And it leads to temporary satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have something to add to kind of the pornography and masturbation mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. Is there's things now that are so subtly pornography.
Mm.
Like books. It's yes. a big trend now to find books that have quote-unquote smut in them.
Is that what it's called?
Smut, oh. Yeah. That's what it's called.
All I've heard was like the spice.
It's the spicy books. Like, you find, like, spicy books or, like, smut.
Mm.
And people don't think of it this way, but that is a form of pornography.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's in a book, just because it's words and it's mm-hmm. not watching something.
Mm-hmm.
It's porn just as much as watching a video mm-hmm. or looking at pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to get a little vulnerable here. I used to read those books when I was a teenager and up until like 19, 20 years old, like I'm 21 now. And I didn't think of it that way until someone told me like, yeah, that's pretty much pornography. And like, they explained it to me of like, yeah, that's exactly the same thing. Because when you're reading, what are you picturing?
Mm-hmm.
You're not just you're not just reading, mm-hmm. you're picturing something. That's what you do when you read.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of changed my whole perspective of it. And now it's just so, it's so like normalized in like romance books, things like that, that it's so hard to find a good book that doesn't have it. Like, I went to the bookstore with my fiancé the other day, and I was just, like, trying to find a good, just clean, simple romance book. Because I'm a girl. I love little romance books. And we have to, like, Google. Like, look up on our phones, be like, hey, does this have smut in it? And it'll say, oh, it has some, but it's not that bad. And it's just like, okay, now I have to put that book down. The book sounded so good until you look it up, and it's like, that's...
Yeah.
Crazy. And it's just so normalized because if you talked about like watching porn in public, people are like, what? But you're literally opening up a book in the airport that you're reading that scene, and it's just like so okay now. People don't think of it as the same way, which it pretty much is the exact same thing. So, but that's just something that I just thought I needed, I should put up in there because it's not what a lot of people think of whenever they think of pornography and putting inappropriate things into your head.
And you have to be careful, too, with those that are called Christian fiction, because they sneak it in there, too. I've had a couple books where I had to throw them away because I had a collection of them. But when I was older, I looked back, I was like, what?
Right.
And I had to throw them away. So even if it's labeled Christian, you have to be careful. There's a website. I'll send it to you. It's, I saw it on a Christian ladies YouTuber called Kay's Library. She mentions these resources that help break down, like, if it has smut or, like, spice or anything like that. And she lists a website that was pretty good. And I've been, I used it, like, a couple times, but now I can't remember the website in front of this. But I'll send it to you. Yeah. But I was like, that is so helpful. And I'm glad that there's websites like that that show that.
Yeah, because I just got into reading again. Me and my fiance, he's been reading this new series that he's obsessed with, and he's gotten me into it a little bit too. But like, we go and read together, but I'll finish a book and I'll be like, okay, I want to start a new one, but it's like such a process to kind of rule out like all these nasty books. I'm just like, just like kissing in a book is fine, like that's okay. But, like, the whole, the descriptions and everything is just, like, I've accidentally read one before, like, since I've stopped. And it's just, like, this is, like, terrible. This is what, like, teenagers can pick up and just read this. And they're reading it like it's nothing. And I'm just, like, man, it's so normalized. And I can't handle it, man.
And, like, not just books too, but music as well. They music, can be so explicit. Like, you might be listening to music that sounds upbeat and you're fine, but once you look up the lyrics or you listen to it, it's whoa. That is basically pornography in a music.
Right. And then there's some songs too that are so subtly like one song, like I'm gonna ruin some songs for some people. Wagon Wheel. It's a country song. It's Rock Me Mama Like a Wagon. It's about sex.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's like a song that kids listen to and they're like jamming along to it. And I was told whenever I was listening to that in the car, they're like, you know that's about sex, right? And I like sat there and listened to the words and I was like, oh my gosh, it is. And it's like, you can't escape it anymore unless you're listening to K-Love. And it's like, man, every single pop culture song will have it in there somehow.
Yeah.
Unless you're listening to, like, I don't know, some like country artists don't do it. But it's so subtle. You never know anymore.
Reminds me of another song, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. That's also about sex. And I didn't know it until like a couple weeks ago. They're like, you know, that's about sex. I'm like, what?
I'm like, what? That song's like, we play that at like youth events.
Yeah, like, it's like roller skating something.
It's just like, come on. Can we not make a song about that? Like,
for real.
I'd rather the breakup songs. I'd rather all these like breakup heartbreaking songs, even though like I'm not heartbroken. I don't need heartbreaking songs, but it's just like, what else can I listen to?
Yeah, right? I drove my key to
the side of his pretty. Yeah. Right.
All right, back to all of this. Again, God gave us this beautiful gift. Mm-hmm. Though it is strong, and you may not think you can control it, but the good news is you can. God gave us the desire, but God also gave us the gift of self-control, 2 Timothy 1:7. Self-control is the answer for a lot of our fleshly desires, but especially this one too. Also, self-control self-control isn't just something you just have. It's something you work for and practice daily. Being that it is a gift from God, self-control may be very difficult, but not impossible to acquire. In fact, it's very much a gift to steward on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. So when we're talking about disruption in relationships and marriage, it talks about the problem in the Church of Corinth about marital and or relational affairs. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that the church is justifying and tolerating sexual sin, and this should not be so. We are confusing the world of what God's quote-unquote tolerance is, in which he does not tolerate, instead of what God's truth is. Also, you can read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, and then read Ephesians 3, 7 through 13. The church is to reflect God's truth and his knowledge to the world. We can't be, again, having conflicting things about what we present versus how we actually live.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even though that was biblical times, it's still happening today.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, praise God, like, his word never changes.
Right.
Because it's very much relevant then, as it very much is now.
Yeah.
So a question that Haley and I both thought of was, when it comes to these marital affairs, relationships, like, how are you treating those of the opposite gender and other women? Or, like, say you're married, how are you treating the opposite gender when you're married? We read in 1 Corinthians 5:1, it says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity." In all purity, you should not have an ulterior motive of, oh, I'm going to get into a relationship with this person, even though I'm in a covenant with another. Like, treat them with all purity.
Mm-hmm. Instead of asking, like, we talked about the line mm-hmm. earlier, and that line is, like, sexual impurity.
Mm-hmm.
I learned this in my college ministry class. We talked about purity, and it was called Loveology is mm-hmm. what the class was called.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of asking, where is the line, ask, how holy can I be? How pure can I be? Eliminating the idea of the line entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being like, how close can I get, like, with your boyfriend? Mm-hmm. You don't want to say, how far can we go without crossing that
mm-hmm.
line?
Mm-hmm.
You want to stay as far away from that line as possible. And trying to eliminate the idea of, like, oh, there's a line there. Just don't even think about the line
mm-hmm.
and stay away from it.
Because
mm-hmm. if you're not even getting close to it, why are you worried?
Mm-hmm.
Why, like, putting yourself in those situations, that's something that my dad always preached whenever I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, be careful what situations you put yourself in.
Yeah.
Because if you put yourself in a situation where you're one-on-one with the opposite gender in a dark, quiet room, something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're a teenager, it's like really hard because your hormones and mm-hmm. everything is flowing. And it's just like, you put yourself in that situation, something is bound. A boundary is bound to be crossed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just something that I've always been taught, is like, don't put yourself in a poor situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I talked about with my fiance the other day. We were talking about a book that I was reading, and it was just like, man, that person just put themselves in a terrible situation. So it's ultimately his fault. And I was like, that is very true. It's like, if you can't blame the other person if you put yourself in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same going with purity. If mm-hmm. you put yourself in poor situations alone, one-on-one, or talking about something impure with the opposite gender alone, and it's mm-hmm. just like, something is bound to be crossed. Reminds me of a story. A lad was in a field, and his father told him, "Don't get into the other field. The devil owns it." It intrigued him, so he thought, "I'll get close to see and not enter." So he decided to walk the fence, and when he walked the fence, he learned what he desired, and the temptation grew more and more to enter the field of the devil. It was there that he decided to enter the field. The main point, the devil owned the fence too. Mm-hmm. That's a really great analogy, and that's something Grace wrote in here. And I really, really like that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a good way to put it in perspective, because just because there's a line there doesn't mean it's God created. Like, mm-hmm. the devil made that line. Like, you even step on it, not going over, step on that line, the devil's got you.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like that. I like that story a lot.
Yeah, I can't take credit. I heard it from someone else. I'm like, oh, I remember that.
Oh, yeah, let me have that in there. But yes, it's great to include it in this. It goes very well with the whole line thing. It's mm-hmm. perfect.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a quote earlier, and it reminded me of a post-it note that I had in my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, "What is your aim in life? Is it authenticity or acceptance?" Mm-hmm. Acceptance is to live your life by the question, how far can I go and still call myself a Christian? Authenticity asks, how holy can I be?
Right. Yeah, I really like that. That's good. Because I feel like that's a big problem, especially nowadays with, again, social media, is like everyone wants to be something. Someone wants to be an influencer or wants to show that their life is like, like, oh, I go on all these trips. So I go and do these things with my friends, or I go here and I go there and I accomplished this. I graduated this. And it's like, everyone wants to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And how far is that person like willing to go to be accepted?
Mm-hmm.
It's like exactly what comes to mind whenever I think of that, is like, I don't want to, like, what's the word I'm thinking of? How am I trying to word this?
You're good. Take your time.
I don't know. I think it words it exactly kind of the way I'm thinking, but in a different way of, like, how far can I go and still call myself a Christian? Because mm-hmm. I think about that a lot. It's like, am I really acting like a Christian? Like, mm-hmm. if I were to go right now, would I still go to heaven? I think about that all the time. And so it kind of makes me, like, reevaluate myself. Mm-hmm. And that's where the whole post-it note, I like the whole post-it note idea, because it makes you, like, sit there and be like, okay, am I being authentic, or am I just wanting to be accepted?
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah. So, acceptance. And with acceptance, a lot of times we can make excuses, or we can fall prey to excuses, because we might think, I'm an adult, or this person who goes to church, or this person who is a Christian or claims to be a Christian is doing that. But that doesn't mean that it's right. You must follow Christ. His word is your standard, not your spiritual sibling nor the world. You can look up to your spiritual sibling, sure, but they should not be the definition to which you compare or contrast or define your life, because they change throughout time. We are human. We're going to grow. We're going to change. And I pray that we change for the better. But like we said earlier, God's word remains mm-hmm. consistent, and it's relevant then as it is now, and it will be relevant for the future into eternity. We need God's word to be our foundation and our standard, not those that are around us that are also growing too. So we're going to talk about application, about keeping our lives pure. How do we do this? But we want to say that we know what it's like to compromise purity.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what it's like to walk redeemed and in daily pursuit of choosing purity. I mean, Haley mentioned it. She stopped reading those books, and then she accidentally read one again, and it made her feel like she wanted to vomit. It was so reviling. We know some of you have made, are making mistakes now that are choosing to compromise your purity. And we are here to tell you that firstly, God loves you. He loves you. He gave his son to die for you, to redeem you, and to remove your sins. Jesus loves you. Therefore, you have a choice, that it is never too late to make the change and to start choosing purity over the pollution of your soul. You can choose now, today, this very second, to walk in the newness of life and pursuit of purity. And you don't have to walk it alone. That's the beauty of it. You have a church family, a body that wants to come alongside you and encourage you. You may meet someone within the body who also needs an accountability buddy and or has walked the road you are treading, who has godly wisdom, advice, and encouragement for you to walk in the freedom in Christ. Read 1 John 1:9. Not only that, I want to encourage you, and Haley does too, that we want you to choose for your soul. Because if we believe that heaven is real and hell is real, which we do, we are choosing the path to our eternity. So we plead, choose heaven. And the beauty is, once you choose Christ and daily and intentionally choose the things of heaven, the things and the desires of earth start melting away, and you will begin to change your here and now in preparation for eternity. Because you begin to crave God in the things of heaven. And we're not saying that this fight will be easier. In fact, it will be harder.
Mm-hmm.
And temptation is knocking on your heart and your mind. But we have different weapons to fight. The Spirit inside us that will point us to all truth, and brothers and sisters in Christ who love souls and are willing to stand and fight alongside you with the Word of God. Read 1 Corinthians 6. 9 through 11, especially verse 11. That is so redemptive.
Keep the main thing the main thing. Love God and love others. Ulterior.
Beautiful.
There we go. Success. Ulterior motives. Matthew 22, 37 through 38, and Romans 13, 8 through 10. When you keep the most important commandment in your mind, it really does make you question and change what you dress, how you talk, what you're feeding your soul. Because ultimately, it's not just about your soul, but it's also about keeping your brothers and sisters' souls. Go back to his word. What does the Bible say about da-da-da?
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 119:9. How can a young man keep his way pure by guarding it according to your word? I think that kind of goes back to what we talked about in the beginning of, like, your heart reflects everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the way I view modesty. My views are different because, again, like, I grew up differently. But the way I think about it is in modesty, and the way you hold yourself pure is all about your heart.
Mm-hmm.
If you are wearing something for like what we talked about, for the attention of someone else, you shouldn't be wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't think that you should wear, this is personal, like, you can hate me, I don't care. You can wear a two-piece at the pool or at the beach, but why are you wearing it?
Mm.
Are you wearing it because you want to feel cute and you want attention?
Mm-hmm.
Probably shouldn't be wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wearing it because it's more comfortable for you personally, you only can fit in two pieces, because some people, one pieces don't fit right. Like me, I have a longer torso than mm-hmm. most people,
mm-hmm.
and so when I wear one piece, it's just really uncomfortable. And so it's like, are you wearing it for comfort? Are you wearing it for to be cooler, or are you wearing it because it's 100 degrees outside and it's Oklahoma heat, then it's that changes things. But only you know that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the whole thing of, like, remember other people too.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
like, remember their hearts. Are you around people that, like, are going to look at that and think, oh, she's immodest?
Mm-hmm.
But it's all what is inside your heart and your mind. Like, why are you doing mm-hmm. these things? Are you mm-hmm. doing these things for others, or are you doing this for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Or for God?
Mm-hmm.
But take your thoughts captive and guard your heart. That kind of flows back into exactly what I was talking about. Proverbs 4:23. When we guard our hearts with purity and faithfulness, we will protect our bodies as well. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Sow a thought. This is a quote. That's not the verse. Sow a thought. Reap an action. Sow an action. Reap a habit. Sow a habit. Reap a character. Sow a character. Reap a destiny. Samuel Smiles. Don't dwell on your thoughts. Dwelling lets the seeds of those thoughts take root and grow into actions fast. If it comes into your head, pray immediately and think of a word to distract your mind. Or get up and walk away from where those thoughts popped up. Flee. So kind of removing yourself from whatever situation makes you think, like, oh, I need to be like this. Or, oh, this is making me think these kind of thoughts. Mm-hmm. Get up and walk away. Close mm-hmm. out of that social media app.
Mm-hmm.
Stop talking to those friends. Or mm-hmm. I know that's kind of hard if we're talking to, like, teenage girls. Like, oh, stop talking to those friends because they're having an impure conversation. It's more of just like, hey, can we change the subject? And if they don't, it's like, you know their character.
Mm-hmm.
Like we talked about, your heart reflects your character and who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Renew your minds. Romans 12:1-2. We all know that one, mm-hmm. the renewal of your minds.
Mm-hmm.
Resist the words, messages, and continually consume God's messages. Ephesians 4:22-23. Again, Psalms 119:9. The only way to kill a bad habit is to starve it to death and replace it with something better. And we have a long list of verses. I'll go ahead and read those out for you. Matthew 5:29-30. 1 Corinthians 6:12-20. Colossians 3:5-6. Romans 13:11-14. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5. And then the last one, do not grow weary in doing good. Galatians 5:8-10. Remember, this is now for eternity. Our journeys here on earth are shorter than we think. A vapor, really. So don't grow weary in doing good. And if able, journey with another to spur another on to good works. I think something I like to think about whenever I think about, like, the journeys on earth are short,
mm-hmm.
is I had a preacher way back when. I think a lot of preachers do this analogy, where you have a rope,
mm-hmm.
and then you, like, put a piece of tape on the end,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, this piece of tape represents our life here on earth, and the rest of the rope's, like, wrapped all around the pews and stuff, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
this represents our eternity. Just imagine this rope goes on forever.
Yeah.
And that's what I think of whenever I think of, we're not on this earth long compared to our eternity. We're going to be in eternity for eternity.
Yeah.
That's why it's called that.
Yeah.
But, like, it's like this compared to so, so much more. And it's like, you got to take advantage of what you have here so your eternity is mm-hmm. beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause if you don't, then you're not going to have a great eternity.
But also to bring others with you into that
right.
eternity.
Yes.
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's a good visual.
Mm-hmm.
I never had an illustration like that yet, but I like it.
The rope thing?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Because I, every time I brought it up to anyone, they're just like, oh, yeah, my preacher's done that one before. And I'm like, I thought it was just my church at Ridgecrest in Midwest City. And I was like, It's like, huh, interesting. And then I was like, more people have seen that than I have thought. But
I like it. Yeah, there's still some people that haven't known that visual. Mm. But I like it. I like it a lot. All right. And then here's a great reminder, everyone. Hebrews 4:15-16 says, Jesus was tempted in every way. Emphasis on every way. Yet he did not sin. So in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. Remember, you have the Holy Spirit within you, his word, and Lord willing, you have spiritual siblings to call and get accountability, but also encouragement on this journey. So speaking of accountability, get accountability within the body of Christ, which means you're going to have to lower your pride to let the problems come out. And I know that's scary, but it's worth it. Develop a habit of censorship. Sorry, I lost my face. There you go. Develop a habit of censorship in what you consume. We talked about movies, podcasts, music, books, etc. There's a couple of resources like AngelVid that helps have it. It's sort of like a streaming network that has great, clean, family, wholesome content. Covenant Eyes, which is a browser protector. There's, again, accountability, getting that person. Maybe it's using a timer on your social media devices like I have done, and Haley's done it too. I remember you talking about it. And like Haley said, your company matters, who you surround yourself with. Be mindful of that. In 1 Corinthians 5:11, it says, but now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality. Not even eat with such a one. Not only are we to not do such a thing, we are told not to even eat or associate with people that indulge in these impure practices. Also, this means being mindful of the situations you put yourself in. Like Haley said, being alone an extended period of time with your romantic partner, whether in a house alone, car, etc. Don't leave room for temptation to creep in. And someone always told me to all fours on the ground, but I believe your dad always told you to stay vertical.
Yeah, anytime I went on a date with mm-hmm. someone in high school, it was like, it's like, you have to stay vertical. And I was like, okay, Dad, thank you. Mm-hmm. It's like 16, something like that. And it was just like, Dad, gross, stop. And but it's so true mm-hmm. because even like cuddling on a couch mm-hmm. or like cuddling and like watching a drive-in movie, that's, you're going horizontal, and anything could happen once you're horizontal. Mm-hmm. And so stay vertical. Yeah. And then I like yours, all fours on the ground, all 4 feet on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, something my dad always told me.
I remember talking to Courtney about mm-hmm. our podcast, and she said that. I was like, Haley mentioned that. It's in the notes.
The vertical thing?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Yeah, because I think they both say that, too. Like, I think that's something that my dad actually took from Courtney and like would say to me whenever I was a teenager. And I was just like, Dad, what?
You think, like, it sounds so silly, but it's so practical and wise.
And
it sticks in your brain.
Yeah. And it's something that you can, like, even in those moments of like you're out on a date and it's like, it pops in your head because it's mm-hmm. so like, stay mm-hmm. vertical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just, instead of just being like, oh, don't go do this. It's like, oh, just stay vertical.
Mm-hmm.
It's not catchy, but it like sticks with you.
It does. It really does. So in summary, we're going to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. And it says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who's called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So, what does it mean to be pure? No ulterior motives. You are see-through. You're genuine. Your lips align with your life. So So your actions reflect your heart and your life. You are truly loving Christ and loving others because it is our duty to honor Christ, but also to love our neighbors. You are not placing your standard of purity on another Christian. Instead, you are placing it in Christ's standard because it's all about souls. And a little acronym I made up is just the word pure, but P stands for purposely pray. So pray at all times, and also praise. A song that I think of that we sing a lot at camp is Purify My Heart. That just reminds me of the whole thing. Purify my heart from ways that honor you.
I don't think I've ever heard that one.
Really?
No.
Okay. Y'all, we need it. It'll probably not be out by the time that we're at camp, but I'll be like, Titus.
It's okay. I'll tell Kyle.
Hey. Yes, that's right. That's right. Great resource there. Kyle.
He's a great resource. I'll tell him, like, she told me about this song and said we need to do it at camp. Make sure you advocate for it. I'll see what he does.
The U in pure means utilize God's word and his people. R means repent from your old ways, change your patterns, and fight to keep yourselves pure moment by moment. Again, you are representing. So repent, represent. So prr, I guess. And then E means encourage others to do the same. Let your light shine. Stick to the fight. You can do it, but also encourage others to do it too. Read Ephesians 3:16-19 and 2 Timothy 2:22. Remember, God loves you. So continue to study and stay in his word and doing life his way. Any closing thoughts?
No, I don't. I think we touched it all. I think aside from everything is like, I want people to know like how long we've been meaning to do this podcast. I swear we wrote this like 2 months ago.
Yeah, we, okay. So everybody that's ever talked to us about the podcast, thank you for being patient with us and being gracious with us. We wrote this in April. But I think by the God's grace, at least for me personally, he's been like, you need to practice some of this before you even talk mm-hmm. about it. So I'm going to give you this time to do right. it. And that meant our schedules were not going to align during this too.
Yeah. So I started a new job. I got into mm-hmm. nursing school. I got engaged mm-hmm. and it's just like one thing after another. It was just like my schedules were all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to figure out this for school. I have to plan a wedding. I have to da da da, and I have to get training done with this new job, and it's just one thing after another. And so I just think it needed some time to just sit there for mm-hmm. a while and fester, and because mm-hmm. I haven't even looked at it since we wrote it back in April, and then last night because. I'll be so honest, I forgot we were doing this morning. Because my schedule is all over the
yes,
place.
Yes, yes.
Like, we came here last night because Kyle
yeah,
spoke.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, ready for a nice, chill day today and don't have anything to do. I'm off work. I just have a meeting tonight. And then you text me and I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot. But I was like, you know, I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be fun. Mm-hmm. Something a little different than what I've been doing because I've been doing so much with work of yeah. like going and going and going of training, of learning how to triage, learning how to do x-rays and all these things. And it's like such a different speed just mm-hmm. sitting here and talking about God's word. Mm-hmm. It's something I feel like I definitely needed. I was just mm-hmm. like, it's just like, oh my gosh. Another thing I have to do. I'm going to be so vulnerable with that. It's like, that's yeah. what my thoughts were. But now that I'm sat down doing it, it's like, man, I needed this. Mm-hmm. I needed to sit down and just talk about God's word and be in God's word for however long we've been here. Mm-hmm. Like an hour and a half.
Hey.
Hey. But yeah. Yeah, we wrote this so long ago. Yeah. Just so many things just would not fall into place, but I think it all happened for a mm-hmm. reason.
Sure did.
So.
Yeah.
But be mm-hmm. patient with us for the next one.
Yes. Yes. We, Haley is engaged to a youth minister, and so, and her job and life.
Yes.
So it's going to be a busy summer. Please be gracious and continue on with the patience, fruit of the spirit. Yes. Yes. Please develop that or continue practicing that, please. But know that our hearts is, we love doing this. We do, because it helps us. Not only that, like, we study deep in there, and then we have really deep conversations about it too.
Yeah. Anytime that we have a podcast, most of the time we will meet up at like a coffee shop, and I'll be honest, she'll have most of everything written down already. I'm type B, so I'll write everything like right as we're there, and I'll just like throw in some things, and then we'll get into some deep conversations. Like, I'll read through and I'll be like, oh, I really like that, let's add this. And that's pretty much how our process goes, if you ever wanted to know. And that's why I really enjoy doing this, is because I don't know much about the Bible quite yet. I'm getting there. But as like we've talked and stuff, because she knows way more than I do. And it's just, I've learned so much from her, and I've learned so much from myself and from the Word. It's just like, I really enjoy it, and I really want to keep doing it. But like she said, I'm engaged to a youth minister, and he's got 20 different things to do this summer, which I accompany him with and help him with as much as possible. I start school in August. So I have everything leading up to that. I have so much stuff to do to get ready for school. And then planning a wedding on top of all of that. And starting a new job. So it's just like so many different things in life right now. Great things that I'm so thankful for. And so, just asking for patience, because we will have another podcast out. Who knows when?
Lord willing,
Lord willing, we will have another podcast out, but who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows when it will be?
Yeah. And this is all on the Lord's time and the Lord's glory. Like, he knows, especially when we study it, he knows when we need to just, no, you actually need to live this out. You need to not do it. Because, like, the book of James talks about how teachers are judged more strictly. Because not only are you supposed to teach it, you're supposed to live it.
Right.
And so we just want to say, like, this is all for God's glory. We really enjoy doing this. And we hope and that we pray that you continue to hope and pray for us and our different life stages, but also that we can continue to do this podcast on his time and not our own, because his time has always been best.
Yeah. I think that's a beautiful way to put it, of our different stages in life, because we are so close in age, but we are in such different stages of life. Like, you're done with school, you have a career, and I'm in the stage of starting school. And so it's, but we're like able to meet together and have such a great connection and talk about different things in life experiences, but we're so close in like age. It's so interesting to me that like you could be so close in age and have such a different stage, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
The beauty of the body. The beauty of the body. All right, y'all. Goodbye for now. We'll talk to you later.
Join us next time.
Woohoo!
Bye.
Bye.